Once upon a time there was a Boogaloo farmer, and the Boogaloo farmer wore the name of MacDonald. One day it was dragging, there was nothing to do, so he showed all his creatures how to do the Boogaloo. Watch it now. Old MacDonald showed his cow how to Boogaloo.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. Got to sit down today at the Raven Cafe with Kelly Villa of the Prescott Farmers Market. Check out all their information at PrescottFarmersMarket.org. And we got to talking about food, homegrown stuff, the health department, community gardens, nutrition, all kinds of good stuff while we were sitting down guzzling coffee at the Raven Cafe. So check them out. Again, PrescottFarmersMarket.org. Every Saturday at the parking lot at Yavapai Hospital, Yavapai Regional Medical Center. And then come May, they will be moving over to the parking lot at Yavapai College with vendors, artists, musicians, all kinds of good stuff. And in June, we'll be opening up at a to-be-determined location in Chino Valley. So sit back, enjoy my conversation with Kelly Villa from the Raven Cafe as we talk Prescott Farmers Market. Enjoy. Villa or Villa?
Villa.
Villa, I thought so.
Yeah.
Helen, now you said you're pretty new,
relatively
to the area,
new.
Or just new to the farmer's market?
I'm new to the farmer's market. I've been working for the market for about 3 months, but I've been volunteering for the market for at least a year through my other job. I also work at the health department.
Oh, nice.
So I have two jobs right now, which is fun, and they're both related to food and access to healthy, nutritious food. So I've been in that position since November of 2014. And I moved here from California.
What part of California?
I grew up in Alameda, which is next
Hayward,
to Oakland.
Born and raised.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's where my mom was raised. Grew up there and then moved to Oregon for college and then moved here. This was a job and interesting stuff. And
so did you come out here for the health department?
Yes.
Was that what brought you out?
Yes.
What do you do for them?
So I am an AmeriCorps VISTA service member. And so AmeriCorps is a federal program that sends folks for a year into basically gives us a small living stipend to do community service for a year.
Nice.
So we're all over. There's about 10 of us in Prescott right now at various, there's one at CCJ, one at Boys to Men, like various nonprofits and service organizations.
No, would you say CCJ?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That's Coalition for Compassion and Justice, and they do social services for low-income and homeless folks. So we do various work that's related to ending poverty in the United States, and specifically in Prescott. So what I do for the health department is do research and projects related to increasing access to healthy food. And right now that looks like helping small convenience store owners source more healthy options for their customers.
Get out of the prepackaged
or
snack
maybe
cakes
less,
and things like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Less of that and more access and education about fresh, healthier foods.
Gotcha.
Yeah, especially in rural areas of the county where, not necessarily in Prescott, where we have a lot of grocery stores, but there's a lot of towns that have Family Dollar. That's about
it. That's it.
Yeah.
Or a small gas station that's...
Or like in Chino Valley, the groceries there are not competitively priced necessarily because there's only one game in town.
Yeah,
so,
that's my neighborhood. That's where I live in Chino.
Yeah.
And I came from a very small town in the East Bay, Hayward. Mm-hmm. I think back then it was 160,000. We didn't even make it on the news weather. They went from Oakland, Fremont, San Jose.
Yeah.
And I moved from there. The tiny town of Hayward didn't rate the weather map to Paulden. And that was a big culture shock for me.
Totally.
900 people.
Totally. Yeah. That's actually a place that I would love to. Yeah. The Pink Store and the Blue Store.
Pink
those
Store
are my.
Depot 89.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are my, I would love to support them in what they want to do and serve the community of Paulden a little bit better.
Now, that's interesting. You see, when you think of, and I don't know much about AmeriCorps, correct me, AmeriCorps?
Mm-hmm. Is
that, don't know much about, but a lot of organizations that work with municipalities, governments, different nonprofits and things, when we think of those, we often think third world country. We also often think of things overseas.
Totally.
So you said there's like 10 folks in Prescott?
Yes. Yeah, and that...
See, that I don't think most people realize that.
Yeah.
And they, when they think of organizations that help those in need, you either think big metro, homeless, Phoenix, San Francisco,
urban,
LA,
yeah,
or way out and overseas.
Right.
So that's that's interesting.
Rural poverty is really a specific problem, and that is something that I think that a lot of residents around here are not exposed to it for various reasons, and it seems to be like a hidden problem or a problem that they think that churches or food banks can take care of on their
somebody
own.
Somebody else's problem.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that is something that Vista AmeriCorps is working on, that we all have a, that maybe we're not even from this community, but we do care about doing our part to try to fix this these issues with the support and input of community members who live here, because I'm not from here. I've lived here for 2 years, so I know Prescott, but I don't know it like someone who grew up here or in this area. So
You'd have to look pretty hard to find people that actually grew up here.
Right.
It's a big mix of people from all over the country.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is an interesting mix.
Yeah. Why food? Why did that... What led you to look at the nutritional side, the food side, the supply side, rather than... say clean water or whatever else, you know, the millions of other things that this earth needs help with.
Sure. Oh yeah, there's a lot of many things.
What drew you to that?
Cooking and food and gardening has been part of growing up. My grandma and my mom and even my uncle were small-time farmers. They're backyard gardeners. And so that's something that I really was taught to value. Going to the market was an activity that we did to the farmer's market. And so that's how I grew up. But then I realized that food is something that builds community. If used in a proper way, it builds community. And everyone has to eat at least a couple times a day. And so the activity of cooking, the activity of growing food, the activity of sharing food is really important to me and has become more important to me in the past couple years. But really, like, I've always loved hosting potlucks, and I've always loved the act of cooking and, like, planning things or being really creative. It's an opportunity to build community and be creative together.
Most of the necessities, you know, air, water, food, aren't necessarily a social activity. Social is more is often viewed as the extra,
right?
You know, whether it be a sport and entertainment or something.
Totally.
But I was raised in that aspect too, where the meal was, you know, there was never a time when there wasn't at least four outside family members, you know, friends, neighborhood, kids that were over for a meal.
Totally.
That it was a very social. The kitchen was the social hub of a house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to just get your fingers in and get things going.
Totally.
What kind of gardens, like in Alameda? You know, it's a beautiful little island.
The soil is great. The soil is perfect, and there's a lot of water, obviously, because it's an island. My dad is into salsa, and he makes the hottest salsa that I know of. And so he grows peppers, onions, and tomatoes, and then some cilantro also, and some garlic, but they haven't gotten into that. It's kind of a... Yeah. And my mom has a great green thumb. She grows kale that's as tall as me, like 6 foot tall kale plants, and beautiful roses. That's something my grandma grew too. So it's all an experiment.
Nice.
That's how I see it, and that's how they see it. So
now the benefits of visiting what you're here to mainly talk about, Prescott Farmers Market at, I love my glasses here. Prescott Farmers Market.org. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep.
I'm blind. Maybe I should eat more carrots.
Maybe you help your eyes.
Yeah. The benefits of, say, utilizing the farmers market, the different avenues you guys have to introduce folks to locally grown I don't even think that's a word, locally grown produce and goods, introducing that to the community and encouraging that. Why? Yeah. Why, as opposed to, say, the major chain grocery stores and even some of the boutique grocery stores?
Sure. Well, I love the market. I have only been, like I said, formally working for the market for about 3 months, but I really love the ability to have conversations with folks who actually grew the thing that I'm about to put in my mouth and rely on for nutritional energy. I really believe in strengthening local systems, whatever those look like, and particularly thinking about food. We see that food is traveling many, many, many miles to get to a grocery store. It's not the highest quality because it's been picked weeks in advance.
Yeah.
And it's something that's convenient, but the making a farmer's market part of your like weekend habit and activity is something that I've heard many people say like changes their opinion and their viewpoint of food, in that they really can talk to the person who picked their carrot, planted the seed, watered it, fertilized it, picked the carrot, and then can actually like tell you how to cook with it, or tell you just really. The creativity of our farmers in Yavapai County is amazing. And Chino Valley and Camp Verde are two agricultural hubs of our county, and those are where all of our farmers are from. So they have a very rich history, and all of them are less than 15 acres. That's the biggest farm we have, is 15 acres, and everyone has their family members helping them run a farm. And that's amazing to me. That's amazing.
Basically, in order to... to survive is when. Who are some of the folks that participate? Who
sure.
Are, let's.
Great.
Give accolades to those that are when folks go to the Prescott Farmers Market, where they can find information at PrescottFarmersMarket.org.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they going to see? What are some of the family names?
Sure. So we have the Raids. So we have Shanti and Corey Raid, and they run Whipstone Farm. And they are the biggest farm. They have beautiful products. But we have several other amazing farmers who are just as creative and wonderful. Whipstone's out in Paulden, and Aguiar Farm is also in Paulden. They are off Big Chino Road.
At the end of Big Chino,
And then Juniper Ridge is where Whipstone is located. And then the Hernandez family is out in Chino. The Nogues family is out in Camp Verde. And then we have the Dalkey family, who's in Prescott, actually, which is something that surprises folks that there's a farm here. And so there's several, actually. And so those are some of the farmers that come to our winter market, which is running right now until April 30th. But then on May 7th, we'll be expanding to our location at Yavapai College, right off Sheldon Street. And we have about at least twice the amount of vendors at our market.
Nice big space in that parking lot.
Definitely.
What
have music, have artists,
nice.
Have like prepared food like tamales and samosas and burritos and like all
any
kinds of delicious
dad's
stuff.
Sauce in there?
Not
Does
yet.
Does he ship any out?
Not
Is
yet.
Is he in California still?
Yes. No. So actually that's a great lead in. I really would love to share that the farmers market in Prescott and in Chino Valley, which is, we also operate that one in Chino, that we are a producer only market. And so that means that we're different from other markets, and that I receive a crop plan or a product plan from every vendor who sells at our market, and they have to be growing what they sell. So that's what a crop plan ensures, that they have so many rows of tomatoes and they're going to bring X amount of pounds of tomatoes to the market. And that helps cut down on the idea that some people have of markets that, oh, they just bought it from Costco and brought it to the market to sell to
peel
me.
Peel off those barcodes.
Right. So our market is special in that that's part of my job, is to do farm audits and to make sure that that's actually, folks are growing what they're selling. And we require everything to be Arizona grown. So my dad's salsa wouldn't qualify because it's grown in California.
Sorry.
No
now,
worries.
Does he produce it for...
for our family.
Distribution or just for...
just for our family.
So you can't... we're not going to plug him.
No.
There's no way to get that hot.
He'll love
sauce
it, though. No. No, he does. It's just for our family. For family gatherings.
Nice.
Yeah, so... but, yeah, the producer-only market aspect is something that I'm really proud of, and that, like, really feel that it gives integrity to our market, and that we... That includes like baked goods and things. So 10% of all of baked goods and other prepared foods that processed foods that we allow to be sold at the market are at least, if not more than 10% of every item is Arizona grown.
Nice.
So that can be eggs, that can be dairy in baked goods, that can be citrus, that can be whatever someone's adding to their product. 10% of it has to be grown in Arizona.
Before moving out here, I've been out here, 12 years. Came out here in 04. Uh-huh. What I knew of Arizona was either the 40 or mm-hmm. the 10 when I drove through it.
Right.
Or came out for a couple spring training games over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know anything about this area, the mountain area. Had driven through Flagstaff once or twice.
Right.
But I knew Phoenix. It's a desert, and that's it. I thought California, even the Bay Area portion, out in Pleasanton and that, where mm-hmm. there were some farms, the Imperial Valley, I thought that was a rich ag area. Mm-hmm. But the diversity of what's grown in Arizona really blew me away. The big citrus groves mm-hmm. that are disappearing in Phoenix. Yuma area is like one of the biggest.
The lettuce
melon.
Capital of the world.
Lettuce, yeah.
Yeah, that's what their informal nickname. Maybe it's formal. I'm not sure.
Aren't there's some big melon.
Probably.
Growers down there as
probably.
Well.
Probably. Yeah.
You got it. You want to get?
Yes.
Oh, is it already made? I didn't know if you had to add water. So what are you drinking? We won't get you
just
in trouble.
I'm just drinking a tea from another. I was in another meeting. It's like an energized. I don't know exactly what kind of brew it is, but it's called Energizing Elixir from Old World Bagels, and I was there earlier.
I'm a flood. That's good.
Yeah.
Like I said, the diversity of what's grown in this state, and mm-hmm. just the diverse. I don't know, it's topography, I don't know, the different areas, the geographical type. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I went up to Sholo mm-hmm. one time, had to work up there, and was blown away. It reminded me a lot of like Reno, Tahoe area.
Totally.
Beautiful country.
Totally. Beautiful.
And when people think Arizona, they think the Saguaros that you see on 17, and that's right. It. That's where it ends.
Or maybe Sedona, maybe. Man. Like touristy. But like, you would think.
Sedona for me is like going to Fisherman's Wharf.
Right.
I went there when people from out of town were visiting. Other than that, that's not where we hung out.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, the diversity of what we're able to offer at the market that's grown within 100 miles of Prescott is amazing to me. We do have some vendors who come from Phoenix, but I would say the most of them come from Yavapai County and maybe Coconino, but Flagstaff has a great community farmers market also.
Now, when do you guys operate? You said that you're under like a winter program now.
We're under, so we actually run year-round, so our winter market is runs all the way through April. And then
what days, what locations?
Sure, we're every Saturday. We currently, until April 30th, we are at 930 Division Street, which is right next to the YMCA on Whipple.
930 Division. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right by the YMCA, and we're in the Yavapai Regional Medical Center parking lot.
Right there. Near the hospital.
Yes,
over
right
by
at that
Prescott
intersection.
High School area.
Exactly. And so it's a great spot because people are on their way downtown or on their way to do errands on Saturday mornings because we're open from 10 to 1. And then in the summer, which will begin on Saturday, May 7th, that's our first day of the summer market, we'll be moving over to Yavapai College in parking lot D, which is right off Sheldon Street, and you'll see the white
bigger
tents.
Bigger area,
more vendors, music, guest artists, all that kind of
same
things.
Same hour Saturday, 10 to 1, or do
so
you expand?
So Saturdays from 7:30 to noon. So we have more hours, and also it's lighter earlier and less cold.
Yeah, a little warmer.
Yes, so we'll be looking forward to that. It'll be May 7th, and we run all the way through October. And then our winter market starts again in November.
So Saturdays in Prescott, and mm-hmm. then you also do Prescott Valley and Chino?
So we don't do, we used to do Prescott Valley Market, not currently operating, but the Chino Market is on Thursdays from 3 to 6, and we actually don't have a location yet.
Okay.
So we're working on that, and that'll be starting in June, Thursdays in June. The first one is June 2nd.
When I had at previous employment, we were talking before about the when I was with the newspaper. Mm-hmm. I had been out a couple of times when they were at the bonfire parking lot, and then over at the Walgreens. But with commerce the way it is and traffic and the highway being tore up and stuff, I know it can be tough. So you're looking for a location now?
We're actively looking for a location. The Bonfire parking lot, I think, is a little bit too small. Last year we had up to 15 tents.
Yeah.
So we need a little bit of space. We're thinking about locations on 89, and the ideal would be at a stoplight, because then folks are checking it out, seeing if they want to go for maybe the first time, and are able to actually make a turn without someone behind them going 55 and dangerous, dangerous turns.
Stoplight, but that Lantana Plaza basically operates Monday through Friday like 9 to 5, and then it's a ghost town. But there are turn lanes in there.
Yeah, think about Olson's is happy to welcome us. So if that's what our board of directors wants, and that's what our vendors want, I'm happy to support it. But really, like.
It'll take the space.
I want the space, and I want to be supportive of the vendors. And so if they're saying, oh, it's not close enough to the road or whatever, you know, if it's not paved, that's something that when monsoon season happens and we start setting up at 1:30.
You need that asphalt or concrete.
Yeah,
otherwise
you're
in a... Well, then you can open up
a mud
hole. Mud baths.
Yeah.
And that's kind of organic.
It's a cleansing, detoxifying. Yeah. So we're working on that, but it will be Thursdays from 3 to 6 in Chino somewhere. You look for our white tents.
And so, again, PrescottFarmersMarket.org for info on how people can participate or just attend.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned there's other things other than the food. There's music.
There's guest musicians from the community. They're guest artists.
Now, do you have that lined up already, or can people still participate in that?
They can definitely still contact us. My email is info at PrescottFarmersMarket.org. You can always contact me if you have a question about how our markets run, or have an interest in being a guest musician or a guest artist, because we have 26 weeks in the season, and we don't have that many artists signed up yet, and that many musicians. So if folks are interested, there's a small incentive associated with it. You get to play for promotion, you get to have tips, all that kind of thing. And it's fun. People come to the market because it's an event and because it's a destination on Saturday mornings. And so I really think that would be beneficial if someone's just starting out as a musician or as an established musician. The exposure, I think, could be a really great opportunity.
Yeah. And just a fun hangout, too.
Fun, exciting. Yeah.
Nice little atmosphere. Now, the days of, years ago, I don't want to date myself too much, but long before you were born, and when I was a kid, we would go to the store quite a bit. It was, you would go that day to pick up things. The days before the big box stores and the membership stores and everything like that. This is a good opportunity to kind of get back to that. Like you said, talk to the people who actually grew it. Get something that's hours or days off the... Off the vine, whatever.
Yeah.
And really experience what food tastes like.
Right.
I hated tomatoes as a kid until I had a tomato instead of an orangey, pinkish, reddish orb that you
slice.
Get.
Slice.
Yeah,
slice.
And it was just not, but a true tomato, true corn. Things like that is extremely different than the mass-produced stuff.
Definitely. I actually don't eat tomatoes unless they're canned or it's summertime.
Why?
Because canned tomatoes are actually produced at their peak freshness, so they taste like they should. And then in the summer, tomatoes are a summer crop, and so they're available at the market or in a grocery store where they haven't been picked when they're green, because they're so soft and they're traveling so many miles. So if they're in a truck and they're picked at peak freshness, they're more likely to be blemished.
Catch up by the time they get to
exactly,
where
and that's a waste. That's food waste. And so I love tomatoes, but only in the summer, really.
Yeah,
kind of a snob in that way. Tomato snob.
That's knowing what you like
standards.
And getting it.
Yes.
Now, what? Talk a little bit about. You mentioned the smaller independent stores or the convenience markets things. How are you
how do you work with them to get good stuff in there, mm-hmm. as opposed to the prepackaged stuff that just comes in off the truck, even from fruits and vegetables to baked goods and things
right,
like
right.
that?
Right, right. So we are just starting this project, and I'm one of the folks at the health department. So this is sort of switching gears to my other position.
There's no structure here.
Great.
Do whatever you want.
That's just in its beginning phases. But I would love to be supporting small business owners, like the mom and pop kind of convenience stores, instead of gas stations turned convenience stores.
Gotcha.
'Cause those are mostly corporate chains. And the approach there would be a different one versus like someone who's been in the community for a long time and probably care. Probably that's their
yeah.
hometown or their community.
Kids have gone to school in this
exactly.
area, things like that. So
they care about it.
I would imagine too. The independents, you could talk right with them if you're going through a larger.
Talk to corporate.
You know, yeah,
that'd be like what
go,
I would hear.
Go through
yeah.
so many levels just to get. You know, you have to do that even if you're, you know, wanting to put a flyer up in a window.
Totally.
It can be a whole nightmare to do that.
Yeah.
Are you getting some good feedback from the locals, or is it still in the planning stages?
It's still in the planning stages, but I'm really excited to be talking to people about a bigger vision for their community. So food is part of health, but there are bigger things that communities need, like good sources of public transportation. There's conversations about tobacco use and the role of that in communities, and we have a great group over in the Verde Valley who are youth advocates who educate their peers about tobacco use. And so we care about health in a lot of different ways is what I'm trying to say. And so I would love to be talking to smaller communities in Yavapai County and making sure that I can help them develop a vision for themselves instead of my ideas of what health means for them. What do they want to see improved in their community? Whether that be food, whether that be transportation, or anything else related to health, and how can we guide them with our resources to achieve a better community for themselves? And really, what do they want to see that look like?
And how all that ties in? You
absolutely,
know, food is one portion of it.
Yeah,
health consciousness is another. Supporting mm-hmm. local economy, all that stuff.
Totally.
Yeah, it's all linked together.
Yeah. And this fresh food, right? So I hear a lot that younger generations don't know how to cook. And I think that I see that. That's true, that people are less comfortable in the kitchen with knife skills, with recipes, yeah. with preparing different foods and keeping them at safe temperatures. Like all these things that I think that younger people aren't being taught unless we teach ourselves. So I've been teaching myself, but people have, unless it's a priority for someone, they're not... I don't think that that's part of their everyday thinking. And so
it's easier to rip it out of the box
totally.
And throw it in the microwave.
And that's our whole culture, right?
Yeah.
That's no individual's fault necessarily, but that's the way our culture is now. And so visiting the market or just thinking about how to cook at home maybe one more night a week is a really great first step in figuring out, like, what does health mean for you?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to make this a priority? And how are you going to make it happen? With like all the barriers that people face, like time and money and those kinds of barriers that everyone faces.
Yeah. What you mentioned the backyard gardens that you grew up around and, mm-hmm. and your parents and your relatives did. What kind of, again, a little off topic, but what are some tips you can give folks that want to either teach their kids or learn themselves mm-hmm. how to do something? Is it hugely involved? Do you obviously in the Bay Area, Alameda, there weren't 2-acre lots
right.
that people were living in like there are here, or
right.
even half acre, 1-acre things that didn't exist there.
Right.
What do folks need in the way of space preparation? What are some good crops that folks mm-hmm. could grow here in their yards that they can benefit from?
Well, I first approached gardening and cooking actually as an experiment. Like I said earlier, it's all an experiment. So like if it goes wrong, you want it to go right. But if it goes wrong, there's a lesson there.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I am very close with our Food Corps service members. So they are folks who teach nutrition and gardening education in our local schools at Lincoln Elementary, at Granite Mountain 5-6 school at Mile High. They are teaching kids how to do this. So all of what I know is from them. and from my family. Nice. So it's really, and I also live in an apartment in Prescott, and so I don't have a yard. I have an apple tree, but that's, I didn't plant that, obviously. It's very old. So what I'm doing right now is growing lettuce in a pot. Lettuce is a winter crop. It loves this weather we've been having with the like cool nights and the snow. It's protected, but I know that folks also face javelinas and face deer. Like, that's something that's a reality for Prescott in rural areas.
Of rabbits in my yard.
Absolutely. So there's all these things, and I really love to tell people about container gardens, because that is something that you can make a lot happen in a very small amount of space.
Small, like what?
Right.
What are we looking at?
I'm looking at lettuce, like greens.
Space wise.
Well,
when you like.
My pot of lettuce is about 8 inches in diameter.
So standard, you would put a potted plant,
a flower tree. Totally.
Yeah.
So it depends. I mean, work with what you have. That's what I would say. Like, just because you have an apartment doesn't mean you can't garden. And that's something I've realized recently. And I always go for low maintenance kinds of things that are protected from the elements. So radishes are a great one. They grow in a month, and they are awesome. Like, you pull it out of the ground. It grows on, it's a root vegetable,
like a root.
So it grows
carrot,
under.
But
totally.
Kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. Carrots take about 2 months to fully mature, so it takes a little bit more patience. That's why I like radishes, because you can just pull them right out. And several varieties of lettuce you can actually cut, and it grows back. So I love that.
You
it's
harvest
like an ongoing,
as you're eating it.
Exactly. Nice. So it's super fresh, so you don't have to take a whole head of lettuce out and. So that's been working for me. Kale is something that it's super trendy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's huge.
Yeah, it's trendy.
It's in everything.
Yeah. And you know, I love kale chips. Have you ever had kale chips?
I
love kale chips. So it doesn't always have to be a kale salad. You don't have to always eat kale in a salad.
Or smoothie.
Right, right. And let's see.
So really, you can go from anything in a small handheld pot up to a little section of your yard that you prep and go through. And
I also have a community garden in Prescott. It's near Granite Creek Park, and folks can rent a plot. So if you don't have a yard and you want more space than just a pot, you can actually rent a space. I think it's $60 for the year, and that covers land and water.
Information here on?
No. So they have a Facebook page. The Prescott Community Garden has a Facebook page, and they are very responsive to messages, and they're looking for folks to buy.
For that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And that would be a good way, too, even if you have space in your yard, or if you're looking for, again, wrapping it back around to the social aspect of this, working with the community, the other folks that are renting space in there, it'd be a good time.
It's a social activity. They have work parties on Wednesday. Well, last year it was Wednesday evening. So, and then the person who runs it is actually, his name's Cal, and he's a master gardener through the University of Arizona Cooperative Extension. Their office is by the rodeo grounds. And they have a master gardener program where they certify folks, they train people how to garden. And that's a great program also if someone's interested in learning more and has a little bit more time. It's like a class, and that's through the University of Arizona Cooperative Extension.
Your site again, PrescottFarmersMarket.org, and then the Community Garden Facebook page?
That's Prescott Community Garden.
Prescott Community Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'll do a link. I probably won't be able to read what I'm writing here.
I can send it to you.
I'll have to go back and listen to this again to pull that. So there's all kinds of good ways. Now, when folks go to either your Prescott or when hospital up until
April 30th.
April 30th,
yes.
And then May 7th at the college and the soon-to-be-announced location in Chino, what can they expect as far as one of the, you know, obviously health, nutrition are necessities. But people struggle with the pocketbook as well.
Definitely.
What can they expect? Is this premium price because of what they're getting? Is it competitive? Is it what can they expect to be spending as opposed to, say, the grocery store?
Right. I would say that I, on average, spend about $15 a week at the market on produce. I mostly eat plants. That's my diet of choice. And so I don't spend a lot of money on meat at the store. We do have beef available at the market, which is very yeah. popular. And it's locally, it's grown on ranches outside Prescott. I would say that it's a matter of, it's really taught me personally, has taught me budgeting. Mm-hmm. So before I go to the market, I plan what I would like to cook for that week. And it takes a little bit of forethought, but I think that it's really been worth it to me to, this is how I prioritize my health. And it's like a long-term healthcare plan, yeah. in my opinion. I'm 24 and I see chronic disease all around me, and I think that this is a way that I'm hopefully preventing yeah. Future issues for myself. And so to me, it's worth it to spend $15 per week on average, I would say. And
if that's primarily what your diet consists of, you can't get out of, I'm not going to say the names, but you sure. can't get out of the big commercial yeah. grocery stores for, I mean, right. if you got out of there with $15 just in the produce aisle, you would be you would need to go back the next day,
right?
Pretty much. So right. it sounds like it's pretty comparatively priced, but for what you're getting, you're also getting much higher quality, supporting a locally grown family. In right. this case,
families.
Mostly family,
yeah.
Farms.
Right.
So you're not going in expecting to be, to break the bank, especially compared to what you're getting out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really important to me to keep money in Yavapai County.
Yeah.
I try to spend as much of my money as possible and keep it within, at least within Arizona. I think that it's really important to me to keep yeah. as many dollars in our own pockets as possible. Because we're a community, and I see that, that's really important to me. Really quick about money, something that some people really appreciate about our market is we have a token system. So it's like a market currency system. So I have, at the information booth, we have a terminal that swipes credit cards, debit cards, and EBT cards, which distribute SNAP or food stamps. Mm-hmm. And so folks can come to the booth and say, I want $20 worth of tokens, and we have wooden tokens where they can spend it just like cash at any of the booths. If you don't have cash or you run out of cash or whatever the situation is, you can always, if you have a card, you can always run the card and you can spend that money at the market. And we're really proud that we accept SNAP. So that yeah. is something that folks can use their food stamps, as it was formerly known, to buy fresh fruits and vegetables and baked goods.
Yeah, extremely quality and healthy stuff rather than the, right. again, the prepackaged stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine it would be, that's a good system for the vendors as well, because they don't have to necessarily worry about cash management then
right.
if they're using the market currency.
Right. We use everyone accepts cash, and everyone also accepts tokens.
Nice.
So they're doing both, but they really appreciate it because a lot of people don't carry cash.
Yeah.
Like I barely ever remember to get cash, and so it's something that helps them be able to serve more people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the freedom of just being able to not hassle with
right.
with
and just drop in
yeah.
without cash, and that's
very
fine.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what else you got? Other items you want to cover? Did we get it?
I think I'm
get what you need?
I'm good. Yeah.
Good.
I'm really glad to talk to you.
Once we get a formal spot at Chino, we'll send that over to me.
We'll
make sure we stick that out. Now, does the farmers market have other social media? Twitter,
yeah,
Facebook?
We have we have Instagram and beautiful photos on Instagram. That's my favorite
nice.
Thing. And we share all of that to Facebook. And we also have a Twitter and
are the links to that at PrescottFarmersMarket.org?
Yes.
Okay, rather okay.
They have the little icons. You can just click on
the
it.
That's the place to go.
Yeah.
We'll link up those too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Great.
Anything else? Good. Do you guys have any coffee vendors there?
We do have one vendor who sells coffee roasted in Prescott, which is awesome.
Nice.
It's delicious. Primo coffee.
I'm a coffee addict.
Yeah.
And not in recovery.
Yeah.
So
it's delicious.
I will look forward to
yeah.
that.
Really quick, there's also a new coffee shop that if you're a coffee aficionado like yourself, there's a coffee shop on...
Junkie is how I term
maybe,
it.
Maybe, yeah. it's on Sheldon, and it's... No, is it Sheldon? Oh, shoot. It's called Solanos y Hermanos Coffee, and it's right near Prescott College off of Grove Street on that little... It's by, like, the local, that restaurant there.
Yes.
In that little strip there. Amazing coffee. He's, like, super... He's super knowledgeable about, like, probably 10 different brewing methods.
Oh, nice.
And he, like... They source the beans from their family farm in Guatemala.
Oh, really?
It's awesome. So definitely recommend Solanos y Hermanos.
Oh, great. Anywhere else? Plug away. Let's plug away. Oh, we should say where we are.
Yes.
I forgot. We're at the Raven Cafe.
Yes.
And I'll do that in the intro. I do an intro and an outro off later to kind of recap and mention again where everybody is and all that.
Cool.
But we're at Raven right now.
Yeah.
Where
it's
I'm
a quiet,
drinking
nice,
coffee.
Nice morning.
I like this place.
Yeah.
A good spot for music, too. But plug away. Who else? Who else is a good supporter of the PrescottFarmersMarket.org off the top of your head?
Well, I was actually at Soldi Restaurant yesterday having lunch, and they are a huge supporter of our farms.
Good.
They buy most of their produce, I think. At least some, and maybe more in the summer, directly from Whipstone Farm. And they have really high-quality, beautiful food, and great selections for all people of all dietary preferences. And so really recommend Soldi also.
Are links to or links or logos or both to your vendors on your on the web?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm working on updating it right now because we have I'm the most hourly staff at this point. None of us are full-time. So I'm working on updating the website, but we have a Meet Your Farmers and a vendor page where we have profiles of each of the farmers. And most of them have photos also.
Nice.
And then links to any of their websites if they have them, that kind of thing. So definitely more info if you're interested in like pre-screening who you might see at the market.
Well, that and a good way just to support and share the info with everybody else to... like you said, make sure we support the local businesses, the local farmers, the families that run these, as well as kind of creating that social. It's nice to walk into, whether it be a cafe, restaurant, bar, or whatever, and the owner's there. It's not a corporate face.
Right.
It always makes me more comfortable, and,
right.
and it makes me a return customer when I can sit there and dialogue with the person that's actually making the decisions and making sure that customers are taken care of. So, great. Anything else you wanna hit?
We're all good.
PrescottFarmersMarket.org. Saturdays from 10 to 1 at the hospital parking lot at Yavapai, and then May 7th.
7:30 to 12:00. Yep. That's real early. It's an early day. It's
so
going to be worth it.
Maybe on your way home from Whiskey Row, stop
in. Yeah, just stop right in. Get some coffee, get a tamale. It'll be great.
And then
we'll see you there.
All right. Well, thank you, Kelly.
Once upon a time, there was a Boogaloo farmer, and the Boogaloo farmer wore the name of McDonald. One day it was drag, and there was nothing to do. So he showed all his creatures how to do the boogaloo. Watch it now. Old MacDonald showed his guy how to boogaloo. Giddy-up, giddy-up, go. The word for boogaloo and cow talk is moo. Giddy-up, giddy-up, go. Well, she boogaloo here and she boogaloo there. With the moo moo she boogaloo that boogaloo. A big swinging pig, he was the number one pig, cause he knew how to dig. The farmer said, Porky, you the hippest of pigs. Now keep your eyes on my arms and my hips and my legs. Watch me now. Old MacDonald showed his pig how to boogaloo. Country. country, and the talk of the town was about a farmer with greed just boogalooing around. If there's a boogaloo heaven for farmers that swing, that's where you'll find old MacDonald. He's the boogaloo king. They boogalooed here, and they boogalooed.